Hey everybody, welcome to this week's podcast. It's looking like this week and next week should be pretty much normal, and then the end of August, I guess mid to end of August to the beginning of September, is where the content is probably going to drop off because of the move. So I think I must not have been clear about that last week, because I posted a few more things and people were like, whoa, I thought you were taking a break. But nope, I actually don't think I'm taking a break at all. I'll probably have to skip a few weeks of the weekly roundup. I'm sure we'll have guests step in and take care of it. And I'm going to be slowing down content, but not stopping. So I don't know if I have that in me to just stop. I'm kind of a workaholic and really enjoy it. And on the other side of things, you know, YouTube made that big post on Twitter the other day about how creators can stop and take a break and they don't have to worry about the algorithm. Yeah, lie. 100% lie. You can't just not post content or you'll get killed even more. So I'm definitely going to continue to do as much as I can, but I'm just going to have limited access. You could probably see in the background, there's already stuff being packed up. So hopefully everything will go smooth and it'll just be a few weeks of a transitional period from the old place to the new one or something like that, but I guess I'll just figure it out when I get there. So let's jump in and see what we got this week. Arcade 1UP has just announced that they'll be opening pre-orders for their Simpsons arcade cabinet on August 16th. No price has been officially announced, I think, but it's expected to sell for the same $650 as their other similarly sized cabinets, which are not one-to-one replicas of the original. They're about 5 feet tall and weigh about 100 pounds, but they're still bigger than the original line of Arcade 1-Up cabs, which will lend itself really well to the four-player layout. Now, I'm sure you're not going to fit four me-sized adults around it, but it'll be a lot easier to game on that thing than it would their normal or their original-sized cabinets. I think that something like this is pretty cool, and I'm actually really interested to see it in person, but that price is the only thing that's such a big turnoff to me, because I think that Arcade 1-Up, since their inception, has always made arcade cabinets that are great for the casual user experience. So you walk up to them and you see the awesome artwork on them. I always did like the artwork, and I don't think The Simpsons is going to be any different. I think it's going to be just as cool as the original. And, you know, you see the look and feel of the original arcade, but it doesn't weigh that much. You could probably lift it yourself in most cases. You know, you don't need friends and machinery like a real arcade machine would. There's no maintenance like you would a normal CRT-based arcade machine with an arcade board. I totally get the casual gaming experience. But they've in the past chosen a lot of games that are still used in competitive gaming today. So it was weird to see a casual version of that being released when there's a whole other market out there going in the opposite direction. But The Simpsons is the opposite of that. That is one of the coolest casual play games I could ever think of. And, you know, if you disagree with me, please comment below. I'd love to hear different opinions on this. But my personal opinion is that if I was having an Arcade 1-Up Simpsons experience with some friends, and there was 2 to 3 frames of variable lag, I really wouldn't care. Because when I play The Simpsons, it's not about having a flawless experience. It's about playing a silly beat-em-up with my friends and using characters from the cartoon that most of us probably saw at least some point growing up at any age, because it's still on. So, you know, I think that's the epitome of the perfect casual arcade gaming experience, but at a premium price. So I really wish that The Simpsons cab was the $300 one that a lot more people could afford and a lot more people could enjoy, and the Mortal Kombat and the Street Fighters were $650 because they put some extra technology in there to make it, you know, the same lag or very close to as the original, and to make it an accurate experience that looks good and, you know, to have good quality controls and all that stuff. So, I'm never the target market for Arcade 1-Up, and I know that our paths will probably never cross as far as what we both are aiming for. It's very frustrating to see their stuff get released, though, and now this is a complete flip-flop of the original. It's a perfect casual gaming experience at a premium price when they still have other cabinets out there that are the opposite. So, you know, I would love to see one in person, and if they ever go down in price, I would certainly consider it, because I really enjoy the Simpsons game. I own the original arcade board. I got the two-player mod for it, so you could choose your own character. I just don't like the $650 price. And for the record, I get it, there's a global part shortage. All materials have gone up in price. Shipping has gone up in price. There's probably part shortages for the stuff that they need to make the electronics, making those more expensive. I totally understand that. And even if it's released at $7 or $750, the price increase from the original is not what I would be upset about. It's just, once again, the fact that this could be an amazing casual gaming experience, but at twice the price it probably should be. So interested to hear your thoughts on this, but it just seems like I'm destined to never line up with a good Arcade 1-Up product. I was finally able to do a review of the AverMedia Live Gamer 4K, which is an internal PCI Express capture card that can handle up to 480p 60 with complete uncompressed colors. And I've been doing a lot more tech reviews lately, but always in the context of retro gaming or retro content creation or something like this. So it should even apply to everybody listening, even in a small way. But the basic overview is that from a retro gamer's point of view, it does work with the open source scan converter and the Super Nintendo in 5X mode. You don't get video dropouts, so that's very important for compatibility. You do get audio dropouts, but remember that the OSSC is doing an analog to digital conversion anyway. So if you're using component video or VGA, you could always just route audio directly to your PC. Or if you're using a SCART connector, you could use one of the OSSC's outputs that's switchable between being an input or an output. You could just use that as an output, grab a 3.5 millimeter cable and plug that into your PC and just bypass the AverMedia, however you say it, bypass their audio. So you could very easily get a good experience on that. Even though you get audio dropouts, just bypass it. Also, the HDMI pass-through on it does not have any audio issues. So if your TV works perfectly with the OSSC as is, then it still will work if you run it past it through this capture card. It won't fix any issues though. So it doesn't have a buffer or anything like that. If your TV isn't compatible before, it won't be afterwards. And I did test, there is zero lag added to the pass-through, so you can safely use this. There's some cheaper capture cards out that have HDMI pass-through that do add lag. This is not one of them. It's totally safe to use. So right off the bat, I would call it very cool for use with the OSSC. Just get around the audio issue. You could also do something like use the HDMI out into an HDMI audio extractor with a SPDIF digital capture card or something like that. I tested that way just to make sure the audio was okay, but I think just using analog audio is infinitely easier and cheaper, but wanted to throw that out there. The other thing is color compression. A lot of people had speculated that maybe this card can or can't do full uncompressed colors, and I used that same pattern that Fudo had sent me that I've been using for a lot of reviews lately, and it seems perfect. It seems that it does pass uncompressed 444 color through it, which is much less of a big deal on modern consoles, but it is something noticeable on older consoles if you want the best streams or if you're making archival content. The only negative side of the capture is that it wasn't as good as something like a DataPath Vision, which on the one hand is completely unfair because you're talking about when they're new, a more than $1,000 card versus a $200-ish card, but you can get the DataPaths used for around $100 for cheaper than this. So if you're somebody who is a content creator that does comparison shots, or if you're analyzing your work, if you want to make your own game and see how it looks through all of these things, I would still stick with the DataPath card just to make sure. The only other note about using it and getting good captures is that you need to manually check all of the settings. So go into the edit button and then you could click on these pictures for full size if you want, but you have to set everything to take screenshots and video in uncompressed colors. So if you want to do stuff that way, you need to make sure to set it up. It also will list the resolution and refresh rate in that menu, which stinks. There should just be a little bar on the bottom. The status bar should just have resolution and refresh rate, but in that settings menu, it will list it, and you just got to make sure everything lines up to it. Overall, you see everything pretty cool. You see everything gets passed through pretty cool with not too many issues. Just once again, not as good as the DataPath. So overall, I would say if you need a way to capture 4K video, this is an excellent buy. $200 for uncompressed colors, 60 frames per second, good pass-through. I would definitely say that this is well worth the $200. If you're using it for 1080p 60, or I guess even 1440p 60 and under, and you want the best solution, I would still go with the DataPath cards. Check out the page on the website that I have about how to use them. I'm working on testing other audio extracting equipment. I'll have that page updated soon, hopefully before I move, so I can have more info out there. But and as far as not content creating, not doing comparison shots, you just want a really good, reliable capture card, I would also call this one a win. You know, for the price, it's really good. The only other thing is if you are on a budget and you're trying to figure out what cards to buy, $200 is a lot of money. You know, if you put it in context of, oh, I want a brand new high performing one, you know, for $1,000, $200's cheap. But if you're coming at this from, I just want to be able to play my games online with my friends, $200's a lot of money. So I would suggest looking into those. Epos Vox calls them Cant Links. They're basically Cam Link clones. But expect that you're probably going to have an issue of sorts. I bought one that's terrible. It probably captures at 5 frames per second or something. But I've talked to a lot of people that have bought them that work totally fine in 480p and 720p modes, and they will capture 60 frames per second. They won't do 1080p 60 though. But for retro, that's fine. Set your OSSC or whatever to 480p or 720. Go from there. Not a big deal at all. And of course, if you want other solutions in the middle, it does get a little tricky. You know, the $20 Cant Link, if you had to buy two to make sure that, you know, it worked right and return one, you know, not the end of the world. If you wanted to buy a $200 good solution internally that you know is going to work, the Avery Media is great. What to get in between is a tough question, and I don't really have the answer. I would recommend checking out Epos Fox's channel, definitely. But as for ones I've personally tested, that blue box that I found last year that I put in the capture card shootout that I did, that would definitely be something that you might want to look into, because that's about 70 or 80 now. But I would love to hear other people's recommendations of what you would think of between super cheap and the $200. I think it's $220 for the Live Gamer 4K. Is there something in the middle that's OSSC compatible, that does not compress colors, that can go up to 60 frames per second? I'd love to test that out. But for now, this review is pretty much all you got. Please check out the post, as well as Epos Vox's channel. And I did a silly unboxing on Instagram if you're into that at all. But all of it's right in the post if you're interested. So I have some very amazing news for Mr. Fans, but I have to start with a preface and a warning and a caveat or whatever the heck you want to call it. This is an early alpha demo of something that might be coming at some point. I want to say that before I even explain what this is, because I don't want to get people's hopes up and then everybody starts bothering the developer behind it. This is just a snippet into something that's a work in progress. However, SRG320 has just posted a progress update on the Sega Saturn core and show it booting a retail game. And there's still sound bugs, there's still some video glitch bugs, but it's getting there, which means that at some point between now and never, we're probably going to get a very cool Sega Saturn core for the Mister, which is very, very exciting. Also, I don't think there's going to be any hardware upgrade needed. There was some speculation at some point about maybe you would need more RAM or a different kind of RAM or something. And at the moment, I don't think that it's looking like that's going to be necessary. Meaning if you have, you know, one of the 128 or maybe even 64 gig modules that are already out there, you should probably be able to use this core. But overall, this is still just an alpha look. You know, I called it beta in the review or in the post, I think, but it's not ready for public release. There's nothing out there that you could use. I just wanted to get the word out that the Saturn core is in progress and it's looking very possible, which is super exciting. So if you're a fan of this stuff and you have the ability to support, please consider signing up for SRG320 and Sorg's Patreon. And also any of the other Mr. Contributors that you follow their work and you use their stuff. You know, if you're not in a position to support, that's fine. Don't feel guilty about it. But if you are in a position to support, throwing the bare minimum a month to continue their work is a big deal. You know, and it's this is one of the few times where quantity is more important than quality. You know, just you could do the minimum. You don't have to give $1,000 a month to support this project, but tell as many people as you know that are into this stuff, because a whole bunch of people signing up for the minimums will really help keep these projects going and allow the developers to spend more time on them and stuff like that. So I can't possibly gush any more about how excited I am for a Saturn Core for the Mister. And, you know, once again, please consider supporting the developers, and I will keep everybody updated when there's something to try. As I stated right at the beginning, there's nothing to download now. There's no release date. There's no info. This is just a snippet of, yep, we're doing it. Here's how far we've got so far. You know, good things to come. I recently did an interview with Stephanie Allaire, who is a developer creating a brand new retro platform. I got to admit that when I first spoke to Stephanie a few months ago, I was a little confused as to exactly what this was, and then I was incredibly intrigued once she took the time to explain it to me, and we go over all of the stuff in the interview. I will warn everybody that it does get pretty nerdy at times, but the feedback has been excellent so far, so thank you for that. And, you know, I really love doing podcasts like this. I actually love doing all kinds of podcasts, and I really appreciate that people take the time to read the little 3-sentence blurb, because I've been getting good feedback, and I feel like being honest up front is helping with that. Like, hey, here's a super nerdy podcast. Hey, we nerd out a little bit, but we mostly talk about beer and heavy metal in this one. Or, you know, here's another one about race cars. I don't know. I haven't done any racing ones yet. But, like, I just love that I get to do these things, and I get to have a wider variety than just retro gaming only. And people sometimes enjoy, sometimes say, hey, that's not really my thing. I don't really like race cars at all. I'm going to skip this one. I really appreciate that. So I'm going to keep doing these. I would love to continue to broaden the horizons of different things I talk about, but I'll stick with at least rooted in retro for now. But there's a lot more very amazing people I want to talk to. I had a great time talking to Stephanie. So I hope everybody enjoys this one. I don't really know how much else I could talk about it, because I think we did a pretty good job in the interview kind of breaking down exactly what and how this thing came about. So I guess just check out the post for a short summary and consider giving it a listen on any podcast platform at all, or as a video on YouTube, or I guess the other video platforms that I auto-upload to as well. This next post is about Game Tech's pre-orders for the Game Boy Advance Consolizer, and I wanted to talk about it for two reasons. First, if you've already pre-ordered, it looks like the kits are being shipped to Jason right now, so you should be able to get yours soon. And also, if you haven't pre-ordered yet, Jason ordered extra, so there's definitely more pre-orders available for anybody that was looking at one of these kits. And there's two different versions available. There's the full Consolizer version that makes it look like a mini console, and then there's the Facehugger design. I love that. I think Carsey was the one that came up with that name for it. But the Facehugger ones that use the original Game Boy Advance case and replace the screen with the board now offer a very awesome looking clear design. So I have the original prototype, and then I have a full case version, and I like them both, but I just looking at this picture, that Facehugger with a clear design really stands out. And if you're somebody that needs motion controls from the Game Boy Advance or stuff like that, you'd probably want that one anyway, so you could use the GBA itself as the controller. Whereas if you're somebody like me who just loves to use an SNES controller, the full console version's probably the easiest, because you never even have to touch it at all. You treat it like a console, flip the power switch on, and go from there. So if you're interested in these at all, definitely check out the links. The only other thing to note is these are kits. These are not pre-built units, so you'll have to have them installed or install it yourself. It's not an easy install. It's not the hardest install, but it's definitely not for beginners, so definitely keep that in mind. And if you need any more info about what the Game Boy Advance Consolizer is, definitely check out the video I did a couple years ago, as well as the last firmware update post I wrote that kind of brings everybody up to speed as to the firmware changes from then till now. And these kits will all have the latest firmware on them. Engineer Robert Dale Smith has just released an adapter called the SNES to 3DO that allows you to use Super Nintendo controllers and the mouse on 3DO consoles. Now, not only is it compatible with those, I'm sure that most people listening who owns a 3DO are probably thinking the same thing. Will it work with six-button games like Street Fighter? And yes, it will completely work with the port of Street Fighter, which is known for a great soundtrack and just overall is a great port of the game onto the 3DO console. So it's completely compatible with that. And on top of that, it's also compatible with the BomberTap multiplayer adapters, which is something that's kind of neat because I didn't know this previously, but the 3DO port of The Perfect General contains an 8-player minigame that's kind of the style of Bomberman, and two simultaneously connected multi-taps in conjunction with the SNES to 3DO would unlock this feature, so you could actually use 8 players on a 3DO game. I challenge you to find 8 people in your local that's local to you that actually want to play the 3DO with you, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Overall, though, it seems like an awesome adapter, and I think it's something that most 3DO owners would probably want to consider. And it does work with the ODE from Nemo, I never really know the proper way to pronounce that, but the optical drive emulator does work with it, so you could navigate the menus, the games all work with it. So it seems like a great thing to have if you're an owner of a 3DO. I personally liked the 3DO controller. I know a lot of people thought it was too big and wasn't as comfortable as the others. But I still want to pick up one of these just because while my favorite game on the 3DO is Road Rash, and that feels, for whatever reason, right at home using that controller, I do feel like the experience for other games might be a little bit better using the SNES controller instead. So pre-orders are not open yet, but you could sign up on the website to be notified once they are, which should be in about a month, I believe, maybe 2 months, depending. So definitely check this out if you're a fan of the 3DO, and I'm definitely excited to see all kinds of controller adapters like this. And I do have some for the CDI even that I haven't had a chance to do any testing on yet, but once I get settled, I'll be demoing that one as well. So definitely a fun time to be an owner of a 3DO, because now you can get a decent choice at other types of controllers you might want to use with it, and the mouse too, which is cool. I just released a video talking about brand new arcade board cases from Scanline City that are currently being sold for Mortal Kombat 1 through 4, but will also have different versions available for Capcom, Konami, and other boards very soon in the future. Now, these boards are definitely more of a premium option, and I kind of want to put that into perspective. We talked about it in the video, but I feel like anybody listening now that hasn't seen the video yet might want to just know what they're getting into. But basically, if you're somebody that has an arcade board collection and you just want to make sure that they're safe, you can get some anti-static bubble wrap and some of those padded mailer boxes where you could just put them right in there, store them vertically, and you don't have to worry about much. And if you're somebody that likes to have protection when you use them, there's certainly options out there for cheap plexi stuff. I've seen a lot of people mount stuff to pieces of wood and things like that, which are functionally perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. But these are an option for people that want it all, if you will. They want protection. They want to be able to store and use these vertically or horizontally or in pretty much any orientation. And they want it to look cool as well. And these definitely do. They're a combination of sheet metal, I think steel, with a layer of plexi over it. So you get all the advantages of both. You get the solid protection of steel, but you also get the nice look of plexi over that, and you don't have to worry about fingerprints on the metal and stuff like that. And they're all laser engraved and laser cut as well. So the logos look very cool. The writing looks cool. All the Mortal Kombat ones we showed off have all of the different lettering etched in there. And overall, it's just an awesome premium option if that's what you're going for. For me personally, I have a few arcade boards that I keep safe, but you know, I'll probably end up giving them away or selling them super cheap at some point. And then I have boards that I'm always going to want to keep, and they're just important to me. I don't really care if that's stupid. I want them. I always want them to look cool. I want to use them. Even if a flawless Mr. Core ever comes out, I'll probably use both. You know, I'll use the Mr. for convenience, and then this when I just want to feel like I'm using the original. And I don't care if that's dumb. That's just how I feel about it. And I'm very happy that there are premium cases like this that are available that could really help. And the ones I showed are prototypes. There's a few minor things being changed for the finals, and there's also going to be different braces, so you could mount them places, standing them up vertically. They're going to have some kind of foot stand for them, so it's a little more secure, although these are already pretty secure as is. So definitely check out the video if you're interested. Now, I did this as a live stream with the intent of cutting it down to like a 10-minute YouTube video afterwards, but as I got into editing, I realized that I really enjoyed a lot of the conversation that we had and thought other people might as well, so I probably should have just not wasted the hours of editing and just re-uploaded the full stream onto YouTube, but I will be doing stuff like that in the future a lot. I'm going to be doing a lot more live streams, a lot more testing live, you know, kind of as a fun window into showing what I do behind the scenes, and also just because a lot of my fellow nerds are into this stuff. And then I'll cut it down to a short video that just kind of, the basic video you would expect from me on YouTube anyway. I just hope that in the future I'll be smart enough to realize which ones don't need cutting and I should just post before I get into the editing. But hey, learning curve, you know, speed bumps along the road and whatnot. But if you have arcade boards and you're interested in this, even if you don't have Mortal Kombat arcade boards, I would still watch this video because it shows how they're made, what went into them, the different options, and we talk about other boards that are going to have custom cases in the future. You could purchase them right now, right from scanlinecity.com. And once again, these are at the moment are just the Mortal Kombats are available, but there should be others very soon. And I'll probably do, at the very least, a short post on Retro RGB when there's a new one out there. And if you're an arcade fan, I would always just research what else is out there as well. You know, maybe you just need a cheap Plexi option for what you're working on. Maybe there's other premium options for your exact board that you prefer one over the other, but I have a feeling you'll be pretty impressed with these two. So definitely check out the main video or at least the post if you're interested. Well, that's it for this time. As usual, thanks so much to everybody who watches, listens, plays nicely in the comments, and especially thank you to everybody who supports, because it's you and your support that's keeping this channel, the behind-the-scenes research, and everything else that goes into it running. So thank you all so much, and I'll see you next week.